Where does your value come from? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Adam Davis, who was on our previous show, who was sexually abused by a neighbor when he was a young boy, leaving him feeling like he had no value.
You know, I think that a lot of times we find our value in our family, our friends, especially our parents. And when we don't have that, we try to find it in anyone, in anything that happens to us, good or bad. So if something positive happens, we can feel good about ourselves. Someone says, wow, you're tough. You say, oh, I'm so tough. Someone does something destructive to you, you can feel dirty or undervalued or there's something not right with you.
Yeah, I think that events, like abuse especially, can really cause a lot of damage in how you view yourself.
Yeah.
Shame, guilt, even self-hatred, not really loving oneself and really beginning to see, well, other people have a big value and I have no value. You know, I remember when I was younger, I didn't have any specific abuse that happened to me, but certain events began to make me look at myself and really devalue myself. And how I attained value was by my achievements and by what other people said about me. The problem with that is if anyone said anything little or anything at all, I would be easily shattered.
And I think I can relate to that as far as my value came from my friends. I didn't have mom and dad in the house, so it was friends and then it became boyfriends. And constantly I felt like I was never enough. I was never pretty enough. I was never good enough. I didn't have the right education because we moved too much. And I was just never going to hit that bar where everybody else was. And so I myself had very low self-esteem, felt very undervalued, and ended up in bad situations and relationships due to that.
Yeah, that was through some abuse, right? That hit you in your younger age. Do you think that that kind of added to that?
Well, of course. And for me, having molestation when I was younger, that happened to me as well. And then also just being called certain things, that didn't help add to who I was and my value. And not hearing it at home, who you are growing up, not having affirmation from someone saying you're valued, you're worth waiting for, you're beautiful. Then you take in what everyone else says because you're hungry to be valued or to know, who am I? What am I here for? You're learning your identity.
Oh, you know, that's amazing. Well, for me, what really solved the problem was when I came to know Jesus Christ. Man, I tell you, Jesus Christ will really up your value because he actually explains to you what you are. When I began to look in the Bible, I saw in verses where it says, so God created man in his own image, the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And I realized that my value doesn't really come from what anybody says of me or anything, and that God already has inherent value in me. Because especially when you receive Christ as your Savior, you are going more and more into the image of God daily. And so my value no longer comes from people. It comes from God himself.
And I think if we could read the word and know that it's true and it's real and believe it for face value, that this is God speaking to me. If we can truly get a hold of that, then we would know our value. We would know our identity because when we receive Jesus, God becomes our Father. So we don't need to hear it from a friend or a family member or even an earthly father because the Bible says he formed and fashioned us in our mother's womb. God created us for a purpose and he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And the Bible even says in Matthew 10, 29 through 31, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So that makes me feel good knowing that God loves me. He knows every hair on my head, and he's going to take care of me. I don't have to worry about what someone says about me, what someone thinks about me. Now my value comes from the Lord. And when I read his word, the truth brings me freedom. And that's my hope for you, my friend. Let's hear from Adam Davis after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Four Seasons Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Like to be pampered? Come to Four Seasons Nails, where customers always leave feeling relaxed and looking good. Located in Denver's historic Highlands neighborhood, Four Seasons Nails is your oasis to escape from stress, offering a wide variety of professional nail and waxing services. Come to Four Seasons Nails at 3481 West 32nd Avenue in Denver, or call them at 303-455-3025.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Light.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us once again is Adam Davis, and he was sodomized as a young boy. And through that, he had a lot of stuffed emotions. Didn't tell anyone about it till he was about 20 years old. Later became a police officer and then became an investigator who ended up handling sex crimes at one point.
Wow.
And through that, started having his own heartache and pain that came through this, where he wondered, is God even real? Does he even exist? Let's welcome to the show, Adam. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Yes. So when you became a police officer and you started seeing these people who were, you know, doing sex crimes, what started happening in your heart?
Oh, I just wanted to be sure that I did a really good job at what I was doing. You know,
yeah.
I didn't treat anybody unfairly. I wasn't unjust, but I was very firm and I was very diligent in my pursuit of them. It was necessary for me to do that. But as a law enforcement officer, I kind of developed a very hard heart and almost lost my marriage, my family, and I felt worthless, and I felt like nobody understood what I was dealing with. And there's a lot of people that feel that way, whether they're cops or not, but they're just not going to talk about it because we're conditioned to not talk about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I got to the point where I felt like, you know, I probably would have just been better if I was never born.
Mm.
You know, and that was a lie from hell.
Right.
And so I got to the point to where I really tried to figure God out for a long time.
Yeah.
Very analytical. And I got to the point where I just said, you know, I believe in you for no other reason than I choose to believe. At that point, it was pivotal for me to confess that I was no longer trying to figure him out, but I was totally surrendering myself to him, mind, body, heart, spirit, and soul, every part of me. And I want to tell you something. In that moment, for somebody that was sodomized as a little boy who never really wanted the affection of men in any way, a hug or, you know, anything more than a handshake is what I mean.
Yeah.
I felt an embrace of God's love in a patrol car wearing all my gear that can't compare to anything in this world. I've been hugged by my wife and my mom and my grandma, my dad, my stepdad. All these people, but nothing compared to the presence of his love in that moment. And that's what began to radically change me. And that was a process. And all of this has been a process of a growing relationship and going deeper in the things of his word and presence. But you can't do it if you're holding on to unforgiveness. You can't do it.
So as you were in your patrol car and all these emotions and feelings were coming up, even suicidal thoughts, you just said, okay, God, I'm not going to try to figure you out anymore, which I think a lot of us try to do. We try to figure things out. You just surrendered and you said, okay, I just want to be yours. And what's amazing is he met you where you were at and you felt his presence. You felt his love.
That's right.
And in that moment, it was like a true forgiveness. It seems like you were able to slowly but surely be able to even forgive this person who did this to you. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was important for me to let everything go. For me, I tried to carry all of the baggage. Mm-hmm. I tried to carry the burden that had already been paid for and I'd been set free from, but I wanted to continue to carry it because it was mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I viewed it. And I had to let go. I mean, I've been told I'm type A personality, I'm driven, I'm ambitious, and we just don't talk about stuff like this. And I had to let go. And that was a critical point in saying, you're God and I'm not.
Yeah.
And in order to show that you're God, I'm letting you have all of this.
Yeah.
In that vehicle, in that patrol car, I realized my worth was not in anything that had happened to me. in anything that anybody said about me or to me. It was about who I was in him and because of what he had done for me. That was where my worth and value was. It wasn't anything that happened to me. The miracle was that I was still standing after all of it, and it was all because of him.
Wow. And there are people listening now who have been so hurt by life. Maybe they were abused sexually by a family member, a friend. They say, I couldn't forgive. I could never forgive them. Or they're just going through this constant suffering of looking back in their past and they feel worthless, or that God must hate them. And how could God allow this to happen to me? What would you say to that person listening right now?
Yeah. You know, I don't think that we can say that God allows this to happen. We know that we live in a fallen world. This world is fallen, and we live among people that are highly influenced by the kingdom of darkness. And there's evil people around us. But, you know, also all around us, inside of our hearts and our lives, of brothers and sisters, people close by, the power and the presence of a living God. And while he did not cause it or allow it to happen, he's there in the midst. If we will cry out and reach out, he will deliver a level of healing. He'll deliver healing in our lives that nothing in a clinic or hospital or anywhere else in this world could touch. Because it wasn't a mountaintop experience for me. It wasn't in the altar in a magnificent service. It was alone with him when I surrendered. And maybe that's where people are. Maybe they've placed this redemption in a box where said it has to happen like this. Don't expect it to happen in a certain way. Just take one step, and it's one step of obedience in faith that leads to a magnificent breakthrough that'll change the course of your life forever.
That's powerful. That's well, we're going to pray for those who are ready to take that next step. And we thank you so much for all that you're doing and how God is opening doors for you. And we're going to pray for those who are listening right now.
I just have a word for someone who's listening. Is that your value or your lack of value is not in what happened to you. Your value is because of God. You know, when you think of a dollar bill, and if you mess it with it, you poke holes in it, whatever it is, but what is its value? It's still that dollar bill. It's still worth its same value as if it was mint condition. So Father, I'm praying right now, you begin to reveal to someone who's listening their value, and that you have value in them, that the things of the past happened to them, but it wasn't necessarily them. It was from the darkness that exists in this world. But we thank you, Lord, that you are the Redeemer. You're the one who brings health, wholeness, and love, and that you can reveal direction for us from this point forth for someone who's listening. We ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And if you're out there right now and you're hurting, call out to him and say, Lord, help me. Help me to forgive. And as you forgive, the Lord can forgive you and bring healing to your soul. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.